15-year-old Davy Wexler's world shatters in an instant when her father is murdered during a robbery at their Atlantic City convenience store. Standing at the funeral in her mother's too-tight high heels, Davy focuses on the physical pain rather than face the emotional devastation consuming her. This becomes her pattern, distracting herself from grief through physical sensations, obsessively reading newspaper headlines about the murder, sleeping with a bread knife under her pillow. Her mother retreats into depression, while 8-year-old Jason worries the killers might return. The night after the funeral, they all sleep in the mother's bed with every light in the house blazing, a heartbreaking image of a family unmoored. Grief manifests in Davy's body when her mind cannot process it. She can't eat without gagging. Panic attacks overwhelm her at school, convinced any passing student could be her father's killer. What makes this portrait of loss so authentic is how it refuses to follow neat stages of grief. Instead, Davy cycles through denial, anger, and depression in unpredictable waves that crash over her when she least expects them. When Davy's anxiety attacks become unmanageable, the family visits relatives in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Their stay extends when vandals destroy their store back home, the trigger that finally breaks her mother. She rampages through their room, kicking walls until she breaks 2 toes, revealing her own unprocessed trauma. Los Alamos presents a stark contrast to Atlantic City. The Hill features breathtaking mountains against open skies. This setting carries significance. Los Alamos, birthplace of the atomic bomb, harbors its own history of violence beneath its orderly surface. Uncle Walter and Aunt Bitsy's renovated duplex represents another contrast, a haven of rigid rules, including mandatory bicycle helmets and loaded rifles for protection despite minimal crime. The physical landscape becomes a metaphor for Davy's emotional journey. The surrounding canyons become her sanctuary, places to confront grief away from her relative's stifling home. These natural spaces, with their stark beauty, provide breathing room for a girl suffocating under trauma. In the canyon near Los Alamos, Davy meets Wolf, a young man who scolds her for hiking unprepared. When he asks why she's angry, Davy shouts, "The world," a breakthrough moment where she recognizes her fury about her father's senseless death. Wolf nicknames her Tiger because of her eyes that change from golden to brown. This new identity allows Davy to reinvent herself beyond being the girl whose father was murdered. Unlike the adults who shield her from difficult truths, Wolf treats Davy as an equal, capable of handling both physical challenges and emotional complexity. Later, Davy discovers Wolf is actually Martin Ortiz, son of Willie Ortiz, a cancer patient at the hospital where she volunteers. This connection deepens their bond. Both are facing the loss of fathers under different circumstances. When Mr. Ortiz dies, Davy cries harder than at her own father's funeral, perhaps finally accessing grief she couldn't previously express. Throughout the novel, Davy struggles to articulate what happened the night her father died. She carries the trauma physically, a brown paper bag with her blood-soaked clothes hidden in her closet, symbolizing her inability to process the experience. When Davy finally reveals the full story to therapist Miriam, we learn she was with boyfriend Hugh when they heard gunshots at the store. She held her dying father as he begged for help and rode with him in the ambulance. Even then, she can't discuss the blood. The most visceral aspect remains unspeakable. This difficulty verbalizing trauma extends to her entire family. Her mother avoids being alone with Davy, fearing unanswerable questions. Jason worries constantly but never directly discusses the murder. Their collective silence prevents healing. Bloom shows that recovery comes not from a single breakthrough, but through small steps toward facing difficult truths. Davy begins by writing unsent letters to Wolf, later building a rock pyramid over her stained clothes in his canyon cave, symbolically acknowledging the past while moving forward. Davy encounters contrasting models for living with life's uncertainties. Walter and Bitsy embody fear-based living, keeping loaded rifles despite living somewhere safe and prohibiting activities they deem dangerous. Their worldview centers on preventing potential harm at all costs. Adam Wexler, Davy's father, represented a different approach. Though working at a convenience store while dreaming of opening an art gallery, he kept his store gun unloaded with bullets locked away, showing fundamental trust in humanity despite risks. When Walter dismisses Adam's life as wasted, Davy passionately defends her father's values. Wolf offers a third perspective, acknowledging life's dangers while refusing to be constrained by fear. Despite his father's terminal illness, he continues exploring canyons, connecting with nature, and building relationships. When discussing whether quick or slow death is preferable, her friend Jane suggests cancer's advantage is time for goodbyes. This conversation illuminates the novel's central question: is it better to live cautiously but incompletely, or fully while accepting vulnerability? Davy's healing emerges through meaningful connections with others who truly see her. Wolf offers judgment-free acceptance, while her hospital volunteering introduces her to Mr. Ortiz, whose approaching death helps her process unresolved grief about her father. Even Walter and Bitsy's overprotection serves a purpose, giving her something to push against as she defines her own values. Creative expression provides another healing pathway. When Davy wins the role of Otto Annie in Oklahoma, she discovers her performance talent and gains validation through audience applause, rebuilding her confidence and establishing an identity beyond the girl whose father was murdered. The novel's most profound insight comes when Davy retrieves her blood-soaked clothes and buries them in Wolf's cave, acknowledging, "I'll always remember my father, but now I'll focus on the good times rather than that terrible night." This represents integrating trauma into her life narrative, not forgetting what happened, but no longer being defined by it. The novel concludes with Davy's mother announcing their return to Atlantic City after the school year, not a retreat, but progress, showing their ability to face the place of trauma with newfound strength. When Bitsy worries about safety, Davy's mother articulates the novel's central insight: "I can't let safety and security become the focus of my life anymore." Before leaving Los Alamos, Davy leaves her unsent letters to Wolf in his cave, symbolizing both closure and hope for future connection. Her belief that our paths will cross again someday demonstrates her capacity for hope amid uncertainty. In the final scene, Davy watches Jason race down the Atlantic City beach in his Dracula cape while she and her mother listen to the surf, an image of the family's resilience. Davy reflects that some changes happen deep inside, where only you can see them, and maybe that's how it should be. What endures is Davy's wisdom to Bitsy: "La vida es una buena aventura." In a world that encourages avoiding pain, true courage lies in acknowledging our wounds while still choosing to live fully, with tiger eyes open to both life's dangers and possibilities.